I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel from John chapter 14. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. The gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Good morning and welcome. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate that. So, when did Jesus share these words? Peace be with you. Was it when everything was perfect? Everything was just right? Life was good? No. It was the night in which he was going to be betrayed. And knowing this, knowing that he was going to be betrayed, arrested, falsely accused and convicted, tortured with flogging, and then crucified and would die. He knew all of this was coming. And what did he do? He gathered with his disciples in that upper room. He took time to kneel down and wash their feet. He shared the Passover meal where we remember each time we gather for communion, offering himself. And at Peter's declaration that he would die for Jesus, Jesus just kind of shakes his head and goes, no, you'll deny me three times. But in doing so, I share this with you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Then we have King Hezekiah. He is troubled. He is afraid, for the Assyrian army has come in, and they have conquered all of the nations around them. And now the Assyrian commander comes to him and shouts in Hebrew so that everyone inside the walls can understand him. And he yells out to them, don't believe your king. He cannot save you. And your God, he is no use to you. Look, the Assyrians have taken over all the lands around you. Don't listen to his lies, for you will be destroyed. I'll make a deal with you so that life can be somewhat good. You'll be taken to a place, and we'll care for you a little bit. But the Assyrian army will win. And Hezekiah is afraid, and he is troubled. Until another comes to him, Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah says to him, do not be troubled and do not be worried, for the Lord will come to your rescue. And rumors will begin, and the Assyrian commander will return home. And there he will experience a death that he's put upon others. Would you believe that? Have you believed that? When you have faced troubles in your life? When you have met your match and you felt like everything was circling around you and caving in, and you thought, it's just not worth it. But then you often will hear a message from another. One who is faithful. They become that prophet. You've heard me tell many stories of times when I've been troubled, when I've been dismayed, and it was my faith that saved me. And not my faith particularly, but the faith that was shared by those who are around me. That's why we gather as believers, that we can support and care for each other. One of the statements I truly believe is that God cares for people through other people. And that is what we are called to do, and that is what we get to receive when we share our concerns, when we seek guidance, when we look to those who we know can support us and care for us. I have lots of friends who cannot believe I'm a pastor. One for some of the things I did in the past, and I am thankful for forgiveness and grace and mercy, which I've received, but even more so for some of the challenges that our world faces. And they're like, Rob, everything's falling down around us. All these disasters, all these wars, all these awful things that are happening. How can you believe in a God? One of the things that concerns the church is the growing number of nuns, people that have no affiliation to a particular faith community. But you know what's really important to remember in that number of nuns? A majority of them still believe in God. They just don't like how God is expressed in this world by our churches and our faith communities, because we sometimes fail one another. We sometimes get in the way of God's grace and mercy by having our own pettiness and our own things come between us. But when we truly trust God and we listen to God and we open our ears to God, we can find grace and hope and faith, sometimes from the most unlikely sources. These past few weeks, we've had some of the stewardship members share their stories. Andy talking about how he received the faith that was passed on from his parents, and now he passes it on to his children. That is what faith is all about. From generation to generation, we care for one another. And that from David, who is a self-proclaimed introvert, doesn't like to be in the center of attention, doesn't want to be in charge. When he was asked to become a junior high leader, and he's like, what, me? I don't know. But he was called to it. And sometimes we have to do things that we're uncomfortable with, that we're called to. And today, we have the privilege of hearing from Tim Krieg, who experienced God caring for him through another. And I invite him forward to share his story. Okay.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you, Pastor Rob, for giving me this opportunity to share a little bit of my story. Well, first and foremost, I want everybody to know that I'm here because of all of you and those family members of yours that have been a part of this community for a long time. My mom and dad and our young family moved to Bloomington in 1963, and this is the house of worship that they chose. So I have been here since I was 8 years old. As I've joked before, there's been enough capital appeals done in this place that any damage that my friends and I may have done to the physical body of the church is no longer visible. So it's all things of legend. Well, so my story, I want to give you a little bit of context before I tell you the exact story, but it's still pretty raw for me, so I'll apologize in advance if I get a little emotional. But when I was 55, I'm 63 now, I lost my job for the very first time. I've been a human resources and organization development person my whole career, so I've had the unfortunate responsibility many times of having to tell other people that their job had been eliminated or that they were being terminated for some reason. And as much as we tried, my teams and I, to help people through that process, believing that I understood what that might mean to them and trying to have as much empathy as possible, the reality is like most things in life, you don't really know what it feels like until it happens to you. So here I am, I'm 55, really starting to think about the end of my career, and now I have no career at all. Well, to set the context, at the same time, my father was dying of cancer. And for those of you that know or knew my dad and the relationship that I had with him, I was grieving. But it was my dad that I always went to say, "Dad, what am I going to do when I face those tough situations?" And because of his circumstances, I didn't feel comfortable in doing that, so I decided to do it on my own. Well, you know how things have a tendency to happen in threes? Well, on the same day that I lost my job, my sister-in-law moved into my house with our family. See, she had lost her husband a few years before, and she wasn't able to maintain her home and her lifestyle, and she needed help. So when my wife Debbie and my sister-in-law showed up at our house and I was there, they thought I was being a good guy. I'd taken work off early and I was going to help her to move all of her things into my home. And instead I informed them that as excited as I was to have her joining our home, that I just lost my job and I'm not sure how we're going to support this home. So I was fortunate through my employer to get some outplacement coaching and counseling, and that led me ultimately to making a decision to buy and invest in a coaching franchise. Now, the reason I did that, I had done a lot of professional coaching in my career, but I did that because there was a man who I thought had all of the answers. And boy, if I just went in there and bought his program and implemented his program, that would take care of everything. So 2 years later, after having burned through a fair amount of our retirement plan, several life insurance policies that I had cashed in so that we had money coming in, I went to the sales conference, the second one, basically with $5 in my pocket, failing in the business, and having no safety net to fall back on. And I really didn't know what I was going to do. So throughout the sales conference, the focus of the conference was on the importance of goal setting. And what this man would say is that if you set the right goals, you can make more money than you'll ever think that you're going to be able to make. And so I drank the Kool-Aid, and I was buying into that program. And I'm not blaming him, but how I was executing was causing me to fail because I was trying to do it on my own. So I literally had $5 in my pocket the third morning of the sales conference before we were going to finish. I needed to clear my head because I was just spiraling down and just hopeless, frankly. And so I walked down about three blocks to a coffee house. And on my journey there was a homeless woman that was sitting underneath a lamppost. And it's exactly the stereotype that we've all heard about. She was unclean and unkempt, and there were bags of black plastic, or a series of black plastic bags surrounding her with all of her belongings. And if I were totally transparent with you, as I was walking towards her and then past her, my prayer was, please God, do not let this woman ask me for anything because I've got nothing to give her. So We kind of made eye contact, and she didn't say anything, so I thought, good, God answered my prayer. Well, I didn't know how he was going to answer my prayer. So I went to the coffee shop. I had $5 in my pocket, so I charged the cup of coffee, and I bought a paper to try to just take my mind off of other things. And I joked at the first service, for people that know me pretty well, they might say, yeah, well, he's kind of schizophrenic, so he's probably hearing voices. But I really believe that I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit said to me, you need to go back and engage with that woman. And I said, no, I do not want to do that. I got nothing to give her. And he said, you need to go back and engage with that woman. So I had this little argument going on inside of my head, and I finally resolved myself, and I said, all right, fine. I'm going to finish this cup of coffee. I'm going to finish reading the paper. And if she just happens to be there by the time I go back, fine, I'll stop and I'll talk to her. So obviously I was trying to create a condition so I didn't have to do that. Well, sure enough, as I walked back towards the hotel to the conference, she was there. So, and this is a part of what I learned here, was I was convicted. I said, you know, you got $5. She's got nothing. So I reached into my pocket. I got the $5, and I leaned over, and I handed it to her, and I said, excuse me, ma'am, I'd like to give this to you today in hopes that it might make your day a little bit brighter. And she jumped up, and now I'm going, great, can't get any worse than this. I just offended a homeless woman. And she throws her hand out at me, and she says, hi, what's your name? So I took her hand. Now it became personal, right? And said, well, my name is Tim. What's your name? And she said, well, my name's Monica. And Tim, I want to thank you for helping me to fulfill my first goal for today. Going, really? Your first goal? Well, what's that? And she said, to raise $10. So I'm thinking, yeah, I know what you're going to do with those $10. But I asked her. So I said, well, Monica, what are you going to do with the $10? And she said, well, you know, down by the train station, down by where you were, there's some lockers there. And it costs $10, but you can take all of your belongings and you can put them into the locker. And so you've just given me the ability to be able to take all of my belongings and to keep them safe for another day. And then you'll help me to fulfill my second goal. So remember, I was being taught about goal setting, but I obviously wasn't doing a very good job. So I said, well, Monica, what's your second goal? And she reaches down and she picks up this bag, this plastic bag that's got this beautiful, beautiful yarn in it. And she said, well, you know, a few weeks ago, this very nice woman gave me some money and she gave me this bag of yarn. And she gave me a purpose. And I said, well, what's that? And she said, well, now I knit warm blankets for the homeless people that live in this community. Well, now, you know, my nonverbals just showed disbelief. And she said to me, no, no, Tim, it's okay. She said, I know that I live here. But she said, after all, we're all God's children, aren't we? And we're all called to do something good for those that are less fortunate than we are. So I was about in tears at that point in time, and I just asked her if I could get a hug. And I said, Monica, you have no idea what you have done for me. I thought giving her $5 was going to be doing something for her, and she did for me so much more. Because you see, for me, even though maybe practically my wife and I and my sister-in-law wouldn't have ended up totally homeless, that was my biggest fear. That was the fear that I was facing. And you know, when we face fear, we start to question ourselves, and we start to question our abilities, and we start to question, does God really even know what's going on here? Does he care? And it's so easy to spiral down and to lose sight of all those things. So for me, for God to use a homeless woman as his voice and as his instrument to say to me, you see, you've got this all wrong. It's not all that stuff that you've learned in terms of how to do coaching. It's about recognizing that people have needs. And I've called you to be a person to come alongside people yeah, the needs maybe that I'm dealing with are in the business world, but the fact is that those are real needs. Any of you that are in the business world know that there are a lot of hurting people there. And so what Monica taught me was, it's not about you. It's about being a child of God, and it's about giving everything that you've got, your gifts, your talents, your time, and everything to help those that are less fortunate. And then she said, Tim, I hate to cut this short, but, you know, I have this second goal that I need to be able to achieve. There's a man named John, and he lives on a bench down in the park. And I promised John that I would get him his warm blanket before the day is over. So that's my story. I hope that it helps you in some small way on this day of stewardship when we think about the gifts and the talents and the blessings that God has given us and how we choose to use those to honor his name.
There's another one who was troubled and afraid of everything that was happening in his religious world. His name was Saul. And God came to him and said, there's a better way than what you're doing this. See, he thought everyone had to live the way he lived in his religious beliefs. And Jesus said, stop persecuting my children. You have been called to share the kingdom with others in this way. And so Saul, who had his conversion and became Paul, shares this to the people of Ephesians. We are to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, the church, all the followers of Jesus, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. That is what we are doing today as we gather, as we come to the font where we have the pledge basket. And I invite you during the offering to please come forward as you will be directed and to put your pledge in or your welcome card if you do not have a pledge card with you at this time. And let us be that body of Christ in this world where we are called to make Christ known for the love and the grace and the peace that we receive. And in doing so, we share with others in his name. Amen.